Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Pickle Bar, still available. Lots of great beverage and snack deals going on, too, for the weekend. Stop by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, on the ride home and get stocked up. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors studio in just a moment. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15 with the Kia dealership in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up today on the Steve Jones Show, Dr. John Furia from Sun Orthopedic Group will be talking with us about something that Steve and I have been chatting about the last couple of weeks, really. That's not only about all the Tommy John surgeries that are going on right now in Major League Baseball, but we're also going to talk about youth sports and more specifically the stress that the curveball is putting on youth athletes and the arm. Where's the stress? Is that the reason why we're starting to see all of these Tommy John surgeries coming out? Is it the pitchers throwing curveballs much earlier than they used to? You know, I played Little League. You basically had two pitches, and if you got lucky, you were able to throw a knuckleball. And when you didn't get the, if you weren't able to throw the knuckleball, it was usually because it was in the dirt or nowhere near the strike zone, so the coach never let you throw a knuckleball. So there'll be a couple of things we'll chat about here with Dr. John Furia, who has a lot of experience when it comes to sports medicine, both at the amateur and professional levels as well throughout his career as in orthopedics. A couple other topics that you'd like to talk about, then just give us a call today, 800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. That's the number to buzz here today for the Steve Jones Show and be able to chat with Steve. Maybe you want to ask a couple of questions about Penn State football. It's kind of in one of those lull moments now, isn't it? There's not a whole lot going on. Waiting. And this is almost the worst time if you're a football fan because you've had all the excitement, you know, from January and February with the playoffs and Super Bowl, and then you rolled right into draft and all the things that went on with the draft and the combine. Now it's some workouts in the NFL, and college is done with their spring practice, so it's kind of a football lull now where there's not a whole lot going on and not a whole lot of news coming out. And this is probably the first time this calendar year where that's actually been the case. Hard to believe, but this is probably the first time this calendar year where we haven't had something going on as far as football talk. Baseball continues along. Phillies continue to be a hit and miss. More miss than hit, quite honestly. Although, as I said yesterday, I have to give credit where credit's due. Ryan Howard with the walk-off home run a couple of nights ago. First one, I think that was his 10th home run of the season. But still, it's an awful lot of money. Awful lot of money for only 10 home runs at this point of the season. Games going on here tonight. Philadelphia will host New York. It's always an entertaining series. When it's in Philadelphia or in New York. The Yankees, by the way, are hosting Minnesota tonight. Both those games are 7:05 starts. Boston will host Tampa Bay later on tonight. Orioles on the road taking on Houston. Houston 23-32. Baltimore an even 500 at 26-26. Pirates five games under 500 right now taking on the Dodgers out in Los Angeles, and that's going to be a big test because the Dodgers pitching has just been stellar.
At Chavez Ravine.
At the Ravine.
Welcome, welcome to another night of Dodger ball.
Nothing beats Vin Scully when he goes, beats it foul. Love Vin Scully.
Don't forget about Farmer John Sausage.
Beats it foul down the right side. Coming in tomorrow night here at the Ravine.
I talked before the game with Pedro Alvarez. His actual first name is Pedro.
I still have issues with Dodger fans, though, in Los Angeles. That is not a baseball game. It's an event there. They show up in the third inning and leave by the seventh.
You're just a bitter guy.
No, I mean, if you're going to support your team, support your team. If you're going to pay $40 to $50 a seat, get the most out of your seat.
Everybody's different. We're not all mini Kevin Hers.
Wow, the world would be a brighter place, wouldn't it?
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet. A great resource for me working with the one Kevin Her in the world. Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Snacks, soft drinks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and the Kevin Herr, Bob Buhner, Steve Jones endorsed pickle bar.
Mm. And you may want to hurry. You may want to hurry up though and get down there for the pickle bar, because they usually don't have it in the warm days of the summer. So if you have not enjoyed the pickle bar, make sure you get there quick.
Absolutely, we're going to be talking about Tommy John surgery. And about concussions today. I'll do so at 3:35. Guy that grew up in the Valley, who has a golf tournament that is named for a great friend of his who passed away, Charlie Fisher, used to be on the Penn State staff, now on the Richmond staff, is going to join us at 4:35 on Monday. We'll have that. Charlie Wilmoth is going to join us today. Talk about he's the founder of BucksDugout.com on MLB. We'll have that later in the show as well. And also the rants and ramblings from the Kevin Herr notebook.
I saw a list today that I thought I'd share here in this first segment. I thought you'd find it amusing. The 10 worst sports cities in America.
10 worst sports cities in America.
Yeah, and I don't know what the criteria is for this, but Miami was number one. I don't know. Like,
first of all, the Dolphins don't sell out. Number two, the Marlins, their fans are so mad at the ownership, they won't show up. Now, the Heat sell out every game. They're the hottest ticket in basketball, hands down, and they sell out every game. And the Florida Panthers don't sell out in Broward County. University of Miami, they don't sell out football, and they don't sell out basketball. In fact, they don't even come close in each. So maybe that's some reasons.
Well, they said Miami's a great place to party, get a tan, and people watch. Not such a great place to attend sporting events if you enjoy an awesome atmosphere.
Yes.
So Miami, the worst.
But the Heat have a great atmosphere. I think winning has something to do with it.
They also said the Miami Hurricanes football team has some of the lamest fans of any national power.
Yeah, they do. Well, they do. They don't have anybody showing up.
That's harsh, though. I mean, that's really harsh. Well, are you ready?
If Al Golden had taken the Penn State job, he could have watched in one game the attendance for the entire Miami
that's
season.
Right. That's right. Number two was Phoenix.
Pahonix,
that's right.
Part of it is that their teams are in Glendale. The Arizona Cardinals do not sell out. The Diamondbacks don't, but I always felt thought that their atmosphere is all right. The Suns and the Coyotes. You know, then there's Arizona State. Arizona State may do better than any.
Draw any of them more. Well, the comment was, have you ever attended a Phoenix Suns game? Talk about boring. Ditto for the Cardinals and Diamondbacks. Phoenix simply isn't a passionate sports town.
I say. Yeah, it was the sports town everybody needed to get into 30 years ago.
Looking at the number three city. Sorry, they talk more about the Suns there, and they said the best part of the Suns game is the dance team. But this one really surprised me.
Actually,
go ahead.
Or the gorilla too.
This one really surprised me. Number three was Seattle.
Well, remember, Seattle has awesome football fans. They don't have a basketball team. They don't have a hockey team. University of Washington doesn't sell out for basketball at all. And the Mariners have no better than okay attendance. They're a one-trick pony.
Now, their comment was, has anybody cared about the Mariners since A-Rod left?
And they haven't. And the problem, they don't have hockey or basketball, yet Seattle is considered to be a prime expansion area for both hockey and basketball.
Now, this particular city would have been a little higher on my list because of my comments earlier, but Los Angeles checked in at number four. And I totally agree with that from just the baseball comment I made earlier. These fans literally do get in the seats by the third inning and are out by the seventh.
It's your dime.
Well, the fact that they don't have an NFL team also makes it a tough sports city.
Kings sell out. And the value of franchises, the Dodgers went for $2.5 billion, and the Clippers went for $2 billion. Somebody thinks it's worth it.
How does USC and UCLA do as far as attendance regularly?
UCLA is okay at the Rose Bowl. USC, when they were really good, sold out. They don't sell out right now.
Right. Number five is Atlanta as the top 10 in the midway part of our top 10 list.
You lose the hockey team and the Thrashers, which probably for the NHL, you know, Winnipeg sells out, but you really needed to have Atlanta work. You're trying to get TV markets. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. Getting the Winnipeg TV market does not make you sit back. Hey, look, we got a 40 in the Winnipeg TV market. Really? Really? The Hawks are an okay draw at Phillips. The Falcons do well, obviously. The Braves, they're going to be moving to Cobb County, which is northwest of Atlanta, because more of their fans are up there. And it's a very tough in and out to Turner Field. And that ballpark is only 18 years old.
Number six is Houston.
Astros aren't very good, so it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not real fair if you judge it by baseball alone.
They don't have an NHL hockey team.
And the Texans are kind of new.
New to a point. I mean, they're going into their 13th season.
Is it really then? Really? I thought maybe 8. I didn't realize 13. Talk about quiet seasons.
But see, that's what I tried to point out when Columbus played the Penguins. I said, you know, this is their 11th season in Columbus. So they aren't a young team anymore. This is not an expansion team. This is a team that's gone nowhere. And it's a great football town. The University of Houston doesn't draw. Rice doesn't draw. There's no hockey team, you know, an NHL team. The Rockets do pretty well, and the Astros just aren't good enough, so who can tell?
Number seven is San Diego, and love San Diego as a town, but it's not the best sports town because of the struggles of just baseball and football alone.
Yeah, but the Padres draw well. The Chargers sell out. San Diego State does not. The Clippers are in Los Angeles, and there's no hockey team.
Number eight is Tampa.
These are all places where there's a lot to do, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. These are pretty nice cities overall as far as, yeah, but you're right. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Number nine is Buffalo. Enough said.
The Bills, they don't sell out, and the Sabres stink.
And number 10, I thought would be higher. It's Cleveland.
Yeah, but you're just prejudiced against Cleveland.
That's very true. But they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Your hatred comes out like every day. I mean, I've been trying to teach you to stop being a hater.
Okay. The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You know, I hit the weekend and I want to hit Brewers Outlet. And justifiably so. They have the best selection of domestics, imports, microbrews. You're also talking about a group that has great soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, and look, it's still cool enough to have the pickle bar. That is Reagan Street in Sunbury. They're not called the beverage supermarket for nothing. Kevin Herz alongside, last segment spewing hate toward Cleveland.
That's all right. I was surprised Cincinnati didn't make that list, because some lists I did see Cincinnati on it at number 9 instead of Buffalo.
What about Baltimore?
Baltimore did not make this particular list.
Does it make your list?
No. I like Baltimore. I think that's a good sports town. I like Baltimore.
Okay, just checking.
You think it had everything to do with my loyalty to the Steelers, and that's not true.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Not true.
What do you mean not true? I mean, you get a little out of whack, don't you think?
That's your opinion.
If you want, I'll show up at your next Teener League game, and I'll do a quick poll among people who listen to the show.
I'd rather not. Thanks anyway.
Rather not what? Me show up at the game?
Yes.
I mean, I'd just be there in a purely... I'm there to support Daniel.
No, you're there to make my life a nightmare through that whole game. Because you'll be the one going, hey, nice move there, coach.
No, I would not. I don't criticize coaches.
Oh, no, just after the game then.
In what way? You're not the primary coach of that team.
That's
competent
very true.
People.
That's very true.
They have competent people in place. In place. All it's
right.
All good.
All right, I'm done.
I would be there to support young Daniel. He needs to hear a supportive voice.
He does. You're right.
You know, instead of, I already know what happened there. Yeah. Have you ever watched the movie Bad News Bears?
Yes, I have. What's your point?
You can't use that as your managerial
Are you comparing
playbook.
Me to Buttermaker?
In some ways.
All right. Good thing Dr. John Fury is on the line to save me.
John, welcome back to the show. It's really great to have you with us.
It's wonderful to be back, but I have to make a quick observation here. You two are debating the benefits of two great sports towns, Cincinnati and Baltimore. Superb, superb towns, absolutely great. But let's not forget the area where just about a native, God bless Boston, Massachusetts. They have gone through so much and have done so well over the last 10 years. You got to put them in the near, if not at the very top.
Well, I mean, you look at what they've done. The Bruins have made deep runs. The Celtics, of course, going through a tough time now, but in the last 6 years, they've had a championship. Patriots, of course,
and the Sox have won this year, but the Sox, my gosh, I mean, what better over the last 10, 12 years? My God, we can't think of a town that has produced a greater diversity of champions at the big levels.
No question. Not going to get any argument from this New England native.
I knew I loved these people.
Kevin, on the other hand, John, at some point we're going to have to get on somebody from your sports psychology group, because Kevin has become kind of a hater.
Well, no, it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. Everybody starts off not loving the Sox, and they eventually see the light and become
That's
a Boston
exactly
fan.
Right. That's exactly right. Hey, look, we understand Manny being Manny. We don't have any other standard except get a hit.
That's right. Manny's going for his third resurgence, I guess.
That's exactly what the Cubs, right. Hey, interesting. I've talked to a couple of surgeons about this, about Tommy John.
Mm.
Are they doing a better job of diagnosing it?
Yeah. Or is it just
becoming
more?
Why so many?
Well, here's the thing. So the answer is there's an old saying in surgery and in orthopedics that you may not have seen it, but it has seen you. And that is that's the case with Tommy John surgery. So the condition, the injury to the ulnar collateral ligament, which is a ligament on the inside part of the elbow that javelin throwers and gymnasts and, of course, baseball pitchers, what we always read about, can obtain, were present for years. I mean, the same mechanisms, the same problems, with overuse and problems with biomechanics existed 40 years ago, just as they do today. The trouble was we didn't know about it. Same is true as in some of the hip pathology that we're diagnosing today. So I don't think that there's been so much of an epidemic, but we are just becoming more sensitive to diagnosing it, and we have a better way to treat it. We have a way to treat it, whereas, before the great Frank Job, we didn't have a way to treat it.
All right, so the treatment itself, when you repair it, how do you go about repairing it?
Well, that's a great question. So it's a reconstruction is what it is. You don't really repair the ligament as much as you do reconstructing it. The ligament is divided into three parts, let's say a front, middle, and bottom. And the front part has two other parts to it. And that's the part that tears. Usually it happens when you bring your arm back and you throw forward and you get these forces on the inside part of the elbow. The treatment is not to try to stitch the ligament back up, because it tears like it gets shredded, and the ligament itself is no longer strong. What we do is we take a tendon from either the forearm, which is the most common location, or sometimes actually like a donor tendon from a cadaver, and we drill two holes in the bones where the ligament attaches. We put this new ligament in, much like we would reconstruct an anterior cruciate ligament, and then use some type of fixation device to hold the transferred ligament, the transferred collagen, the transferred substance to the attachment sites. So it's really a reconstruction as opposed to a repair. And then there are a lot of different variations on that theme.
You're still, though, in the process. People say, they come back stronger. kind of find that a little hard to believe in some way, John, because you're still getting cut. You're still being cut into.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the data, to your point, the data supports just what you said. I mean, they don't come back just right. I mean, in the best of hands, when Frank Jobe has reported some of his long-term results, people would get back to play, but oftentimes not at the same level. Many times early on when we started doing the procedure, only 60% of people would ever get back to, you know, playing at a professional level. And now it's up to about upper 70s or so, 70s or 80s. So the answer is they do pretty well, but do they get back playing in the bigs? We read about it now, and we read about the successes, but you don't hear about the people in 2A who have this procedure done that don't get beyond 2A or get back to 2A.
And there's one that I think people will follow now a little more closely that's in the minor league system, and that's the young man from India, Rinko Singh, who the movie was just made about, starring John Hamm, about recruiting them and bringing them over here. He pitched here in State College, so I know the young man. He needed Tommy John reconstruction.
Did he really? No, that I did not know. That I did not know.
Yeah,
we'll be interested to see how he does, and as would, you know, we're all sort of following the guy from the Senators, and you know, some of the other people that are up
Strasburg,
there now.
Yeah.
My gosh, yeah,
yes.
No, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, does the research tell you that of the 70% using that number that can start, you know, working their way back, do they stay away from a reoccurrence for the most part?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I always tell my people that surgery itself usually makes things better, gets them back at a high level, et cetera. But does it make them perfect? No, it's certainly not going to improve their performance. But what it can do is allow for a stable elbow. And then from there, a lot of it has to do with God-given ability, talent, ability for your tissues to remodel, and then, the will to get back, you know, climb that ladder to get back to performing at a high level. And that's the key. So there's no secret. There's no secret ingredient. There's no way to predict who of those 75% of people, you know, who's going to be in that 75th percentile to get back, and who's going to drop off. Oftentimes, we as sports docs, what we do is we make a decision based on, you know, the career. You know, we look at a person who's you know, maybe quite young on the rise. We think, yep, this is a good person. We're going to roll the dice here and try it. But then the person that's an older guy, you know, that might only have 3 years left in their career. Well, you know, you're looking at a 1 year event here, and that's going to take it down to two. So those are the people we try to treat them non-operatively as much as we can. If they can still perform at a sort of a level, you let them try to play out their career. Or you may do something simple like an elbow arthroscopy or a minimally invasive procedure to buy them time, buy them a year or two. And that's where the gestalt and the art of sports medicine comes into play.
Right. It's my opinion, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong in this, but that rehab and the ability and the methods of rehab are just much better now than 20, 25 years ago.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You're so right. You're so right about that. Well, first of all, you can quantitate it. I mean, you can quantitate where an athlete starts at time A and then where they are at various points along their rehabilitation with different devices based on range of motion, strength right. in certain positions, et cetera, et cetera. I'll give you my own example. I had my own foot surgery done back in 2000, and when my surgery was done, the doc at 3 months said, John, you can start running again, which is awesome. I said, that's great. I took 2 steps. I couldn't run. And so then I took, rehabbed it up for 4 months, tried to run, couldn't run again. I said, what's going on? Everything seemed right. What's happening? Well, the therapist just pulled me aside. John, hey, let's measure you. We put myself on one of these devices that the therapists have. It's a commercially available machine. We measured the deficit. It was 42%. 42%.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage we have nowadays compared to what we didn't have 15, 20 years ago.
When rehab is done correctly, and there's some great rehab therapists out there, when it is done correctly, does it strengthen muscles around the injury that maybe weren't as strong before to then compensate?
Yeah, bingo. You're absolutely right. Yeah, so it's a chain. We always, in the paradigm now in 2014 is that the upper extremity, like the lower extremity, is really a kinetic chain. So as goes the shoulder, so goes the knee. As goes the core, so goes the shoulder, and so goes the elbow. So it's, as Christian, it's shoulder, elbow, and then it's core, shoulder, elbow. So it's key to rehabilitate the stabilizing parts. And it's also key, I had a real smart therapist teach me this at one point, it's also key to rehabilitate the injured structure, not just in one plane, but in multiple planes. Because think about it, when you're throwing, that is a, you know, that is a, that, that's a physical motion that involves multiple angles and multiple planes. So it doesn't do someone real good to have a, to take their curl, let's say, from 30 to 70 pounds when rehabbing an ulnar collateral ligament, because that's not the, that's not what you do when you throw, right? You don't curl your arm. It's much better to have strength when the shoulder is abducted or put in a way, put far away from your arm, and your elbow is externally rotated, then to be able to resist manual forces in that direction. That's where a skilled therapist has a lot to do with all this. So it's really strength of the muscles above and below the joint, and strength of the joint in the position of function.
John, I throw in a DVD, for example, and just take you through it slowly, of a pitcher delivering a pitch. On a scale of 1 to 10, how unnatural is that actually for a body?
Oh, boy, that's a great question, isn't it? Well, the answer is very. You know, it's a learned art. You know, throwing is not a natural function. Indeed, it's probably more physiologic, less strain on the body to throw underhand than it is to throw overhand. So, I mean, I guess the short answer is it's very unphysiologic, and it becomes a learned trait.
We love having you on. Thanks so much for explaining all this in such a way, I think, where everybody can understand it. And thanks a lot for carving out some time for us today, John.
It's always a privilege. I hope you guys are well. Have a wonderful weekend.
You have a great weekend as well.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye now.
All right, Dr. John Fury. He is one of our go-to people when it comes to talking about surgery, treatments, and to explain in such a way, such things such as Tommy John surgery, the problems people go through and why. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I mean, Kevin has a reputation right now of being somewhat of a hater, but when it comes to Brewers Outlet, he's a lover. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKM. Okay, so you're saying that I am banned from going to your son's baseball games?
Yeah.
Why is that? I'm just there to support.
Well, you can. I mean, there's plenty of room out in the parking lot.
I mean, don't you think the other people would enjoy having me there? Or?
I'm more concerned with myself.
And there in the end is the...
You want me to deny that? No! I'm not going to deny that.
I mean, let me put it to you this way. All right. That was just a promo. I mean, what do you most care about? I mean, I care mostly about myself.
Not going to deny it.
Wow. Yeah, I would just be there to support and be a part of the grassroots. You know. And you're telling me no. Because you have some inner fear of something you think I might do.
Yes.
What would that be?
I don't know, but I'm sure it would be something, and I would definitely not be on the positive side of it.
Certainly have kind of a negative outlook on life, don't you?
You know, I was listening to Tommy John the other day as I skillfully changed the subject.
No, I want to point out, we're going to have Sean Morris of BTN is going to join us next half hour. He was here today at the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament. So We're going to have him on next half hour.
I heard Tommy John on Dan Patrick's show a couple of weeks ago, and they talked to him about, you know, how's it feel to have a surgery named after you? I mean, the guy was a really good pitcher, too.
Yeah. Tommy John comes up in here. He's played golf at Lewistown Country Club several times. He's good friends with Sam Phillips from Gardner Candies here in Tyrone. Two of them have struck up a friendship over the years. So, I mean, he actually has some relatable experiences to Central Pennsylvania.
Was it 13 years even after the surgery?
Yeah.
Dave from Sunbury on the line to chat with you, Steve.
Dave, how you doing?
Okay, how's Steve? How you doing?
Go ahead, Dave. I'm doing great, Dave. It's really great to hear from you.
Well, I got two questions and an observation. First of all, the observation.
Okay.
I enjoyed that, you know, the conversation you had with that gentleman you had on earlier.
Yes, Dr. John Furio, yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
And did you get your shirt yet?
I haven't seen him. We don't get together as much as people think we do.
Well, I thought maybe with a holiday, you know, at least one of them.
Well,
no, I'm barred from the Steve Jones Grill.
Excuse me. I just offered to go see his son's game, and he told me that he will have me banned from the park. I mean, I found it to be cruel and disappointing.
Hey, you're there for more sport.
That's what I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to help the young guy out.
I just got off the phone with Daniel. He said, no, please don't. It's too embarrassing.
No, I thought having you around would be embarrassing.
No, he's gotten used to that over his 15 years.
Oh, well then, isn't Steve, to be honest, a whole lot calmer than you? Let's just cut to the chase.
Oh, there's no question. I'm not going to deny that.
He talks about, actually off the air, he talks about that all the time, about something's happening, and he'll be like, oh my goodness, and he says, and you're sitting there like, it's all right, it's okay.
That goes back to a moment I sound like Joe Paterno. And when he'd sit there like, you know, after you go on off all this other stuff, he says, oh, well, you know, stuff happens.
Stuff does happen.
Stuff happens.
Well, that's the way we both approached it. Hey, you know what happens next? News. It's great to hear from you, Dave. Your son did not tell you I'm banned from the game.
I sent him a text. I said, would you like Mr. Jones to come to the game? He goes, no, thanks. It was in all caps, too embarrassing. I don't know. Read into that what you want.
I'm there to be a supporter. I'm not there to psychoanalyze the kid. That's your job.
Darn, I'm good at it. You gotta do something, do it right.
I wouldn't brag about it.
You gotta do something, do it right.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sean Morris, BTN next.